Realty Nation. It's your host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty Podcast. It's been so long since I've seen you guys, but let me tell you something. I've got a fun show for you today. If you're interested in taking a look at what trends are happening in the real estate space, today, right now, is your show. I can't wait to get started, so let's jump right into it. This episode of the Think Realty Podcast is brought to you by Think Multifamily. Whether you're a passive investor looking for passive income or an aspiring syndicator and ready to learn how to go big fast, Think Multifamily is the industry's leading acquisition and education company. They're here to help you invest for your family's future. They're with you every step of the way. For more info, visit www.thinkmultifamily.com. I have a good friend of the house. His name's Justin Parker with RCN Capital. We've got a lot to talk about, Justin. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, big guy?
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me today.
Hey, you got it. So give us a little background. Who are you? What do you do at RCN?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Justin Parker, CFO here at RCN. Oversee treasury, cap markets, finance, accounting, and credit here through the company. Been with RCN for about 5 years now. I've certainly been a part of a wild ride and been great to enjoy the growth that we've seen over the last couple of years.
Nice. So, I mean, you guys are very at the forefront of the industry. You pay attention to a lot of trends. And my audience has pro investors, new investors, just looking at entering the game. What are some of the things that they need to be focusing on right now to make money for the rest of 2021? We have moratoriums that are coming up that are being stopped in June, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
There's a little thing there. Is that a big trend? What are some of the trends you're seeing?
You know, from my perspective, you know, moratoriums have been a big focal point for a lot of the COVID pandemic timeframe. I don't know if it's necessarily going to bring as much inventory to market as people might think it will. There'll be some. And it's certainly, you know, important for savvy investors to be focused on their local markets and start keeping an eye out for some of those foreclosure sales, bank sales, et cetera, coming to market. But, you know, on a nationwide level, I'm not really sure we're going to see a ton of that, or at least as much as people are predicting. Really, right now, what I think the most intriguing, you know, fundamental is, if you will, is housing fundamentals in general. We've got this massive HPA wave going throughout the country, which is a direct result of an undersupply of homes and a high demand from our U.S. citizens looking to buy homes. And what it's caused is, you know, you really have two products out there right now in the investment real estate market, right? You've got RTL, which is your construction-like product, short duration loans, and you have your long-term rental loans. And what we've really seen is a lot of people pivoting to grow their rental portfolios, because it's so hard to find those reasonably priced homes because home prices are just so high throughout the country and really tighten those margins. So right now, you know, while we still have a lot of focus on that, the name of the game throughout the country, at least until we see some normalization in HPA, is really taking advantage of the hot rental market that exists throughout the country.
Okay. So you're saying two different things, and I just want to reiterate. The first is I shouldn't be absolutely hysterically worried or think about this moratorium crisis and that causing a major dip in the market. Because I talk to a lot of folks, and the word on the street is, guys, it's going to be buying season. It's going to be great for investors. I can't wait until prices are going to drop 50% like they did in 2008. So you're telling me that the investor that's saying that is a very uninformed investor.
Well, I don't know if I would necessarily say that, because there will be inventory that comes to market at a discounted price, and that's going to be inevitable. But on a nationwide level, it's not going to have the impact that people think. When you see home prices going up the way that they are, and you kind of go back to your basic economics 101 course, right, which is undersupply, high demand, you're going to have that high price point. And until that's really fixed and addressed throughout the country, in local areas and throughout the country, sure, there's going to be marginal amounts of inventory that come to market at a discounted price because banks are just trying to get it off their books. But the very real reality is, as home prices continue this trend upwards, and there's not a ton of sight out there that shows that it's going to stop anytime soon, it's hard to imagine we're going to really see those massive discounted buys on a large scale basis. Now, there certainly will be on a marginal level, but not something that I would invest my entire business model on by any means.
So you said you don't see it stopping anytime soon. I've been hearing that a lot. Help me quantify what that means. Like, what do you mean by soon? Soon meaning 6 months, soon meaning a year, soon meaning 3 to 5 years? Is this the interest rate game that we're playing? That's the entire supply demand econ 101 thing that you're talking
about? Right. I mean, it's really a mixture of a handful of things. To me, the biggest, most driving impact to all of this is that supply and demand, which is there's an undersupply of homes throughout the country, and there's a high demand from our investor base to buy homes. So as long as you have that discrepancy, you're going to continue having these bidding wars to be able to acquire real estate. When, you know, the way to address that, at least on the supply and demand front, is simple: build more homes. But what issues do you run into? We have, you know, at RCN, we offer ground up construction programs and fix and flip programs, and they're doing great, right? We're generating a lot of volume from there. But one thing that we consistently hear from our borrowing base is construction costs are high.
Right.
The price of lumber is high.
I was just going to say the price of lumber. The price of lumber is ridiculous. How does it go up 200% in like 10 months of, what is it, 10, 11? Yeah, like less than 10 months, it was already up that much. It's like, what the heck? I need to find factory in China. That's what I need.
I'm telling you. But it's, you know, what it is really to me is a barrier of entry, right? So I think you've got a lot of really high experience operators out there that still know how to pivot with the marketplace as those costs increase, so they can still find a way to get these projects done successfully. But for the newer, maybe less experienced customers out there that don't have that broad base of contacts, that broad base of experience and knowledge, it's a little bit more difficult for them to jump in and be able to rationalize the cost. Now, the alternative that you layer onto this is home prices are still really, really high. So you can make up a lot of those costs by selling that home for a lot more. But at the end of the day, it's a barrier. It makes it a little bit more difficult. So for me, you know, over the next 6 to 12 months, it's really hard to imagine that this HPA that we've seen is going to decline. I think we'll start to see it taper and normalize a little bit, because at the end of the day, you know, not everybody can afford $1 million, $2 million homes, right? There's an average price that we've got to meet throughout the country. But until we find a way to normalize that discrepancy, it's hard to imagine we're going to see some plummet within home prices. Interest rates are the other piece of this phenomenon, right? So as interest rates have remained so low at these historical levels, it's really increased the buying power of a lot of the U.S. citizens out there, and try to motivate them to invest in real estate, to buy homes, so on and so forth. So if we can continue that motivation, that's a way to normalize that appreciation in home prices. But we just quite haven't seen that, right? I mean, you still have your millennials that like to rent and don't want to buy. You still have all these discrepancies that exist. So it's trying to solve for those things to find a way to normalize that home price appreciation that we've seen and quite frankly, we all love, but is certainly causing that discrepancy at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was reading an article the other day about how it's cheaper to rent right now in like the top 50 cities than it is to buy. I'm just like, man, oh man, oh man, that's an interesting statistic, which
it is.
Actually leads me to the second strategy, the second thing I want to talk to you about, which was you mentioned that there are a lot of investors right now that are going toward buying rental properties. Right. If you can't find deals on the fix and flip new construction side, then it does make sense to maybe go a little outside your comfort zone, secondary, tertiary markets, USA, and find those small little nuggets that you can pick up for $85,000 to $150,000 that will rent long term. Which leads me to my next point. RCN has been a leader in the lending space for quite a while, and you have new programs that you've launched last year, even this year, to help support the movement of investors' strategies. Kind of go into some of those programs for me, and then we'll wrap up here in a few.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, our goal is to be a one-stop shop for any piece of the investment real estate puzzle, if you will. So some of the products that we've launched, so historically, we've had a really strong 30-year fixed product. We've had a really strong fix and flip bridge product to provide liquidity to the nationwide presence of investors that focus on those deals. Really, what we've put a lot of emphasis on over the last 12-month period is a revitalization of our ground-up construction program, which is a huge opportunity out there for infill homes throughout the country. And we've put a more focused approach on our multifamily product as well. You know, coming out of COVID, that was a product that was struggling a little bit more than your typical residential 1-4 unit home. And now we've seen a lot of stabilization. So for us, we've really put a lot of time invested into creating a product that can allow people to go out and fix up a multifamily property and then refi it out, or bring us a stabilized property and refinance it or purchase it on a long-term basis and hold it for that rental income. So for us, it's really been about trying to offer as many opportunities as possible to be able to meet the needs of whatever our borrowers might, you know, might have in front of them as a proposed project.
How are you, last question for you, Justin, how are you moving to help support your investors in a super, super ultra competitive environment? I mean, I know for me, when I'm looking at flip property and new construction, dev stuff, it is really, really, really hard. I'm being bid out. I might win, I might lose. I'm probably losing more than I'm winning right now. And I'm okay with that because I don't want to make any dumb decisions. Is there, what else are you guys doing to help support investors like me?
I mean, the one word that I always like to go to is we're listening. We're really trying to be as strong a partner as we can to our customer base. And by that, I mean, when I say listen, everybody has their own problems that they're bringing. And one of the biggest things that we're seeing nationwide, just as an example, is appraisals. Appraisals are very hard to obtain right now. They take a long time to get. So we've really spent the time and the infrastructure and the money to bring a more hybrid, quicker, established appraisal process internally to try to meet those tight purchase deadlines, to try to give people that speed and efficiency that they look for. And we're also trying to get creative with our products. You know, we're listening to areas where people are having their struggles. We're listening to people and where they're trying to focus their investment portfolio and what they need to be able to win those deals. And we're you know, adopting new processes and procedures to meet those needs and remaining flexible. I think that's the big thing that we've really always emphasized. You've heard us talk a lot over the years about partnerships and how important they are. You know, our borrower is not a customer. They're a partner. We're trying to give them our guidance, our level of expertise, and also listen to them and hear their needs. And a lot of the things, I think appraisals are a good one. We're trying to get creative, offer quicker, you know, approaches rather than having somebody have to wait 4 weeks for an appraisal. We're trying to get them products that turn that around in 2 to 3 to 4 business days. So
fantastic.
We're trying to pivot. We're trying to stay flexible. We're really trying to understand the needs of and the wants of our customers and create things that allow them to have successes in building their rental or their real estate portfolio.
Winner. Justin, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it. I know we could talk about strategy and economics all day, all day, but maybe we will sometime here in the next few months. So I certainly appreciate it. If you want to check out rcncapital.com, Justin, what is the website to go to?
www.rcncapital.com.
Awesome.
Easy and simple.
Perfect. Thanks, man. I appreciate the time. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Sounds great.
You got it. Think Realty Nation's next segment is brought to you by RCN Capital. RCN Capital is a national direct private lender that provides commercial loans for the purchase or refinance of non-owner-occupied residential and commercial properties. The company specializes in ground-up construction financing, short-term fix and flip financing, and long-term rental financing for real estate investors. Visit us at rcncapital.com for more information on their loan programs. All right, so here's the deal. If you're a real estate investor and you're wondering, how do I scale to 100 plus units? Well, on a recent article on thinkrealty.com written by Andrew Sirios, he talks about a couple of different strategies that you can use. I highly recommend this article because, you know, for a lot of investors, you're probably between 5-10 units at this point on the rental basis. And you're like, well, what does it take to grow? How do I make it? Well, here's what you got to do. Number one, ask yourself if you even want that. It's a headache. Believe me, I know, and Andrew knows as well. It is an absolute headache to grow and scale, especially if you don't have the right processes and systems, which is what he talks about next. Systems and policies. You need the right policies, you need the right systems, you probably also need the right tech. Next, you need the right managers. Do you think you yourself can run around if you have 100 single-family rentals or if you have a multifamily building? Are you going to be the guy or the gal that is solely responsible for the performance of that building or for the performance of those 100 properties in and around your city? No, you don't want to be doing that. You want to be looking forward to the next deal, or you want to be looking forward to the next capital raise. So you need a team. You need your managers. But you can't just go hire a manager without testing their performance, without holding them to a particular KPI, key performance indicator. Identify what those are, and then hold them to it. This tells you whether or not they're doing a good job. Are they reporting in on time? What is the vacancy? What is the occupancy? How quickly is that rent being collected? Those are some KPIs that you can absolutely start looking at right now to help you win the game of scale. Last but not least, technology. I love talking about technology. It does go with systems a little bit, but if you're using Google Sheets, Zapier, and like a Globeflow hacked together CRM system, you're likely to fail. Use something that is more robust. Okay, Think Realty Nation, that's the show. If you have any questions, get in touch. You know how to do it. Check me out. Go to thinkrealty.com. You can also find me anywhere online at Abhi Golhar. But I will tell you something. We cannot end the show without giving a huge shout out to our sponsor for today's show. And that is Think Multifamily. Whether you're a passive investor looking for passive income or an aspiring syndicator ready to learn how to go big and fast, Think Multifamily is the industry's leading acquisition and education company. They're here to help you invest for your family's future. Visit www.thinkmultifamily.com. Until next time, happy investing.